The first reading is from 2 Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, on page 570. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven, in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know what the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have taken a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, "My father, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. And the second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 through 6, on page 1797. "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who in the image of God, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts, and to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Carol. So our message this morning is going to come from Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. It's on page 1567, if you want to follow along in your pew Bible. Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 2. This is the transfiguration of the Lord. "So after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him, and he led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, and who were talking with Jesus. But Peter said to Jesus, 'Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' He did not know what to say, and they were so frightened. Well, then a cloud appeared and enveloped him, and a voice came from the cloud, 'This is my son whom I love. Listen to him.' And suddenly, when they looked around, They no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is definitely the word of God for the people of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity once again just to read your word, to share, to be together, to be your family. Open our hearts and our minds today so that your Spirit might reveal what it is you would have for us to learn today. Guide us in all that we do. In all things we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've read some pretty fantastic stories this morning, haven't we? I got thinking about Valentine's Day. Linda, you got me distracted. Did you get those shoes from the Wizard of Oz? I just had to ask.
No, I haven't worn this for 30 years because for a long time I didn't step. I tried it on and here I am.
So a little boy asked his mother, he said, "Mom, does marriage make you have babies, doesn't it?" Well, the mother, she was a little reluctant to respond. And she kind of had to tell him, well, she wasn't real. She says, well, not really. It doesn't really work that way. He says, so how does it work, Mom? She says, well, I can't really tell you that right now. And so he says, he kind of accepted it, and he walks away, and he got to thinking about it. Pretty soon he turns around, he walks back up to his mom, and he looks her right in the eye, and he says, you don't really know how it works, do you? No, believe it or not, so this Sunday when I'm doing this, and I'm looking at the Transfiguration, it's kind of how I felt. I think a lot of pastors really dread talking about the Transfiguration because we don't really know how it works. We don't have a real good explanation for it all. But I got to praying about it, and I got to thinking about it. I'm thinking, all right, so say we're like the disciples, you know. So we're with Jesus for all these past couple of years, and we're walking to him, and he seems to be a normal guy. He can do some pretty fantastic things, and we think he's the Son of God, but we're not certain about it. And so we had this story before us about the Transfiguration. All of a sudden, Jesus says, okay, guys, we're gonna take us a little vacation. We're gonna go up on the mountain. And he picks out three of the disciples, three of the original ones. And he says, I want you guys to come with me. So they kind of go on this mini retreat. They're up on top of the mountain. And Luke tells us, if you read this account, and Luke tells us, they're up there and they're praying up a storm. They're just praying up a storm. They're glad to be together. They're all excited about having this great time. I'm certain the disciples, Peter, James, and John, that got elected to go with them are really excited, thinking, boy, this is something, really something special. And all of a sudden, Jesus flips open his communicator, says, two to beam down, Mr. Scott. Just like it was an episode of Star Trek. And here they come, Moses and Elijah. Can you imagine what they must have felt like? I'd be a little frightened. I don't know about you. And when I get scared, I'm not one of those who jabber on, not like Peter. Well, Peter, he gets frightened and his mouth starts to go. He starts to run with his mouth. My feet have been running probably. But his mouth starts to run. And I think about their situation. I'm thinking, how would we respond if we were there? And what really was the purpose of this? This one morning in Sunday school, we're talking about, you know, how God speaks to each one of us and why are we here? Why is things the way they are? And I got thinking about it. And then we're talking about, so why do we get new bodies? Well, I think that was all part of this lesson that we learn here today. So think about it. So here's Peter. He opens his mouth and he says, all right, Lord. He says, it's good for us to be here.
Well, actually, Mark describes, he says, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. He sees Moses and Elijah appear before him. And they got these glowing bodies, and Jesus is with them, got this glowing body. What's the first thing he do? He says, it's a good thing to be here. Maybe we have built shelters for everybody. And I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, so Peter stuck his foot in his mouth, really. But he said, what he did is he took and he put Jesus, Moses, and Elijah all in the same position now, didn't he? Don't we often do that? Don't we lower the position of Jesus? Well, you know, God, he went and corrected Peter right off the bat. He came down in the cloud and he covered him up and he says, well, wait a minute. You got this wrong, Peter. He said, this is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. Isn't that the real lesson here? Don't we all have to be like Peter? We have to learn to listen to God when he speaks to us. Because too many times we take Jesus and we put him into our human situation. We look at him as a human, as not being different. And God revealed that when he took Moses and Elijah away, didn't he? Didn't he open their eyes? Didn't give them a new appreciation? Maybe he looked at the disciples, but this time you guys learned to listen. Because you didn't see things as they really were. I know this week my sermon, while I was trying to make a point of this, I wrote a little story about a parrot on a ship. There was a parrot on the ship. Captain always was one of them cruise liners, so they always had this magician. He'd come on, and he was a pretty good magician. He'd make things disappear and reappear, and every time he did this, the captain's parrot would pipe up, and he says, he's a phony! That's just a trick. Well, it just so happened that the ship came under bad weather and they wrecked. And so now the magician found himself in the lifeboat with the parrot. And they're floating around. The parrot didn't say a word. The magician's not really paying attention to the parrot. And all of a sudden the parrot, after 2 days, couldn't dig anymore. He says, all right, what'd you do with the ship? Because we don't see things for what they are, usually because we don't listen. That was Peter's problem. He didn't see Jesus, and he needed to learn this lesson in the light of who he really was. But Jesus is the Son of God. God quickly straightened out that situation. He didn't say beam him down too, Scotty. So then Mark, when he writes to us in his gospel, he says, so when they looked around and they saw there was nobody around, he invited them to listen, and then he wanted them to really just to focus on Jesus. And that's what happened when Moses and Elijah went away. The focus needed to be really on Jesus, on who he was. Not on this very moment, but what was going to happen when they went down the mountains, when they returned home. Because Jesus told them, don't tell anybody about this experience, because this is personal, really. Because this really transformation wasn't about Jesus. It wasn't about Moses and Elijah appearing. It was about their transformation and learning to listen, and learning how to focus on what they're supposed to be doing. Because we oftentimes lose focus. Sometimes, you know, we're like the guy that was in the airport. And he's waiting on his flight. He's looking out the window, waiting for the planes to come in. And it's getting dark, and there's clouds. There's a storm moving in, and he's getting nervous. So he takes a little walk, and he sees one of them insurance machines. You know, for $3, you can buy $100,000 worth of insurance that'll pay off if you die. So he's looking at that, and he thinks, that's kind of reasonable. Yeah, I better do that. Just in case something happens, my family would be better off. So he spends his $3, gets his insurance card. And he's feeling good. He said, okay, so that's covered. He's still waiting on his flight. And so there's a lot of big airports. So he walks around, he's getting hungry. He decides, I got to get me something to eat. And he finds this little eatery. It's a Chinese place. So he goes in, he has a good meal, he's feeling good about it. Gets down and he opens his fortune cookie. Opens the fortune cookie and says, "Your recent investment will pay big dividends." And he went and changed flights. But what happened really was he lost his focus. I mean, we all know airlines are pretty safe, and whether it's another airplane or not, it's going to go up in the same weather. But he had a tendency. He lost his focus. That's what happened to these guys. That's what happened to Peter. He lost his focus. He's saying, okay, so here these guys are. Maybe we should build shelters. Well, he wasn't talking about building mosaic temples or something for these guys. He was talking about shelters like they used to use in the Feast of the Tabernacles, where they built shelters for 7 days for everybody to stay in so they'd have time to converse. Think about it. Sometimes we want to build our own little camps, don't we? We think, okay, God's going to move in with me and we're going to be all happy and familiar, but that's not what God wants. He wants us to reach out. He wants us to come to Him to learn how to listen to Him, to listen to God, to recognize Jesus for who He is, to keep focused, and to move on. I had a little quote I wrote down, and I really want you to remember. When we think about Christianity, in our religion, so we're really not in the business in Christianity about information, giving out information about God now, are we? This is not what Christianity is all about. Christianity is all about transformation by God, how He transforms us in our lives, and how we use that. And when we read it in Corinthians, when Paul says we're the bearers of the light, aren't we? We need to be the ones to let the light shine. So we can be transfigured just as Jesus was. So we might be a light for somebody else. Give them an opportunity to open their eyes so that they might be able to focus on Jesus. So they might be able to learn to listen and learn how to stay focused, because that's our job. We didn't come here to build shelters. I didn't come here to give you a whole bunch of information about Christianity and our religion in the Presbyterian. Come here to let you know that Christianity is all about being transformed by God. It's all about transformation. Heavenly Father, transform us. Help us to learn to listen. Help us to stay focused on Jesus, on what You have for us to do as a church family, individually, and as in each of our neighborhoods, Father. Guide us, hold us fast, and keep us strong in all that we do. For we know it all comes through You. In Jesus' name we pray.